Listening Library presents Long Road to the Circus by Betsy Bird, read for you by Emily Ellett. For Mom and Aunt Judy, our rags may flap us to death, but we will not starve. Thank you for your stories. BB. To Sarah, DS. 1.
Strongest grip in a girl I've ever saw,
Daddy said, not without some pride. I looked down at my palms, rubbed raw where earlier I'd clung to the elm tree in our front yard with my no-good stinking brother Bill pulling on my leg to get me down. He'd called me in for mealtime, and I didn't want to jump to obey his word, so there'd been a good 5 minutes of yanking and gripping before Daddy put a stop to it. I still wasn't feeling anything in 4 of my fingers, but his praise was a cool, clear salve to those burning digits. A salve, that is, until Mama chimed in with, "Just like the day she was born." Once she said that, no amount of moaning on my part could derail her from telling the legend of Baby Susie, and believe me, I'd tried. Changing the subject didn't amount to anything. Lying about our cow going into labor didn't do any good, possibly because she wasn't pregnant at the time. Ignoring my petulance, Mama launched right in.
The day you were born, Lamb Pie, you gave me more trouble than I'd ever had with your sister and brothers.
This was no small thing. Mama had 3 kids before me, and according to her, each one had been a trial.
I thought I knew all the ins and outs of birthing, but you gave me a real ride. You just didn't want to leave. You were holding on for dear life to keep from meeting the world.
Then she began to laugh. My mama cannot talk about the day I was born without bursting into giggles. Granny says it's unseemly. That means whenever she gets to the hilarious part, Granny will totter over and start poking her with her cane, which only sets my mama off further.
Get a hold of yourself, woman, Granny says. Birthing babies is our war, and telling the stories of it means telling about all the bloodshed and battles we overcame. Ain't no time for tittering like a school child.
Then she'll poke me once with the cane and say,
You don't see this one acting the fool when you tell that tale.
I don't think it much fair to get rammed in the head when I am doing something she likes, but that's the way with Granny. Doing something right gets you 1 poke. Doing something wrong gets you a lot worse. Anyway, the reason I wasn't guffawing along with the rest of the family is because I've never found the story all that funny. And that's on account of how Mama ends the story.
Finally, we get you out, and there you are, smaller than a coop's egg. This tiny little baby, all flailing limbs and wailing cry, looking half-starved, which is not the way a baby should be. But quick as lightning, you latched on and started drinking on me from the get-go. That's when we knew you would do just fine.
A pause.
Except
nothing, I interrupted, not eager to hear any more. And I ate everything you ever put in front of me and stayed small, and that's okay. The end.
Except, she continued like she hadn't heard me, when your granny came in to take you so I could rest, and truth be told, I was pretty tired as well, we tried to dislodge your tiny baby hands from my hair and clothes and discovered a grip we'd never encountered before. Strongest thing I've ever felt from something that small.
Could be you just didn't try hard enough, Granny muttered to herself.
Mama shrugged at that.
I was plumb exhausted, I admit, she said. But the harder I tried, the harder you'd grip.
Every single time, without fail, she'd start to laugh again, laughing at the remembrance of laughing.
There's Granny looming over me trying to take the baby Susie away, and I just couldn't get you loose. And then suddenly,
she snorted, which isn't ladylike, but at this point she didn't care.
I'm laughing too hard to dislodge you.
And then Granny gives it a try,
Daddy continued,
because by this time Mama was having a high old giggle fest and wasn't fit to talk.
And she can't get you to let go either.
I tried, Granny snapped. But as soon as you got one hand undone, the other one would snake up and grab whatever was in reach.
She glared long and hard at me,
like she was doing it on purpose.
Not having anything to say to that, I said nothing. Now Daddy was laughing, too, along with my siblings. Even Bill was laughing, but that's because he's a nasty toad of a brother, and that look on his face wasn't because he found the story funny, but because he found my finding the story not funny funny. Make sense?
And then I tried to pull,
Daddy said.
And you just gripped your mama harder. I thought we'd have to take scissors to the dress just to cut you off.
And my hair, Mama cackled. Oh, they're a regular funny troupe, my family. I stood to leave, but Mama's hand shot out and grabbed me. And if there's any question of who I get my grip from in this family, they just need to feel that vice. You go nowhere.
The thing is, she said, calming down slowly and looking at me with real love, I knew then that you were going to be one of my best and biggest problems right from the start. Knew it like I knew your pretty face. 'Cause my girl's the kind who never lets go of something when she wants it. Never.
Any fool can grip, Granny spat. It's the smart ones that know when to let go.
Well, there you have it. My name is Susie Bowles, and I've never known when to let go a day of my life. 2. Let me tell you something about the summer of 1920 in Burr Oak, Michigan. So far, it had been a nice round year, with not a lot happening. In fact, I had good reason to suspect that as summers went, this one was shaping up to be among the dullest. President Woodrow Wilson was in office, but according to Mama and Daddy, he wasn't doing a whole lot of stuff, and that's just the way they liked it. Unfortunately, the very stuff he wasn't doing was causing some problems for our farm. Seemed like a lot of folks in town were out of work, which was just weird to me, seeing as in farm country, land's all around. Someone has to till it. What was stopping them? Case in point, Uncle Fred. Wait, stop. I got that all wrong. According to our neighbors and friends, and pretty much any lady I've ever passed on the street for the better part of my short life, his name is actually Lazy Old Fred, or Good Old No Good Fred, or even Deadbeat Fred, which has a nice ring to it alongside its not-too-nice meaning. Uncle Fred was one of those folks out of work. That wouldn't have been much of anything except somehow he was married now with a kid, and if he didn't work, and his wife didn't work, and the baby didn't work, naturally, then nobody was working and everyone was starving. Plus, he was Daddy's brother and all, so the solution seemed simple. Uncle Fred was going to come to our farm to be a farmhand. Not much in the way of pay, but free food and a place to sleep. Not too shabby. Our farm's pretty good as they go. It's not all that big. We've only got a few cows and chickens and horses, and sometimes a goat or a pig or a sheep or two. But the crops are decent, and that's where Daddy and his hired crew spend most of their time. That's where Uncle Fred was going to spend his time, too, when he came. Which he did in just the strangest way. I wasn't paying all that much attention when Uncle Fred, Aunt Juliet, that's his wife, and Little Catalonia stumbled onto our property. Someone had mentioned they were coming, but I don't think I heard it at the time on account of the fact that my brother Bill kept whispering to me all breakfast that there was no way I was going to be able to keep that toad I'd caught the day before. Bill's 2 years older than me, and he's the closest to my age on the farm. The rest of my siblings are all okay. I keep out of their way, and they keep out of mine. Except Bill. I know we're supposed to love our brothers like ourselves, which they say in church all the time, but there ain't no way to love Bill. He is unlovable. Something's not right with him. Mama loves him, but I think she's the only one who does. Daddy pays so much more attention to Ernest, who's big and...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?